Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence, a peacenik by Joe's observation, and we have a warmonger on the other side of the table, and that's Mr. Joe Lundberg. I'm sorry, I'm looking at the forecast.
Well, you're having quite a day already, aren't you?
Oh, it started early today, too.
It did indeed.
Quite a few cancellations and delays today, so I was already awake when your first email came in. That's how early I was up today.
I think your mind went on a two-hour delay.
I'm losing it.
You are.
It's gone.
You are losing it, my friend.
But we are here and very glad to super serve our On the Mark audience, On the Mark sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. If you're a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message or start up a new one at 70236, and we would just love to hear from you in the manner with which you wish to contact us. So, yeah, call us. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Since we last spoke, the president has promised that he will have a statement today about the U.S.'s next step in the, what you call it, tit-for-tat between the U.S. and Iran.
So, ooh, that's a new one. Instead of quid pro quo, we're now going to go tit-for-tat.
Well, I don't know. What do you call it? Actually, the attack last night from Iran on the airstrike didn't really happen because you'll remember the other day the president ended it. So it wasn't the beginning of the escalation. It was the end. So whatever happened last night
didn't happen.
Did not happen because tensions between the U.S. and Iran have already ended.
It's funny watching the media this morning. You know, they're all, oh, well, this is what we predicted at the end of the world. But wait a minute, they missed. They didn't hit anything.
No casualties.
No casualties. And the consensus is that they did deliberately kind of do nothing major.
I heard that.
As a matter of fact, on Morning Joe, he was speculating that it was orchestrated in order for us to help save them face.
Okay. So that they could fire rockets and get credit for them, but not actually hurt him. Because if they'd hurt people,
then there would have been a problem.
Right. Then we would probably.
But enabling them to save face and say, we took retaliatory steps, and of course they can claim we killed 300 Americans even though nobody was hit.
Well, and the president is all but mentally ill. How do you think he's going to respond?
Mentally ill.
Well, I don't know. How do you describe his state
of
mind?
I think he has exercised tremendous restraint here. He has not, you know, bombed the bejesus out of anybody, as everybody predicted. It was a surgical strike.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going to speak to the nation this morning.
Just one individual.
He didn't rush out. No, there were more than that. That's funny because there was that Time magazine's getting a lot of flack for how to tell your children about our attack on Soleimani. Of all the ridiculous
stuff. All right,
stuff.
So there was a foreign leader who was a
really nice guy, but we bombed him.
By almost
no, they don't use the word terrorist.
Oh.
They describe him as a government leader. Let me see what else they call him. Who was Soleimani? Soleimani was a top military leader in Iran, a country in the Middle East, the guide simply stated, without going into any detail about the hundreds of American soldiers and thousands of civilians Soleimani is said to have been responsible for killing over the decades. Why did the U.S. take action against Soleimani? President Donald Trump has called Soleimani a terrorist, the guide continued.
Oh, it's Trump, just Trump.
Yeah, Trump says Soleimani ordered attacks on American military and diplomats and was planning attacks against Americans in the Middle East. For this reason, Trump ordered the U.S. military to kill Soleimani. The drone attack took place at an airport in Baghdad in Iraq. An Iraqi leader was also killed.
Okay.
Doesn't mention the thing. So it makes it sound like Trump just decided, the guy's a terrorist. I decided he's a terrorist, so I'm going to kill him. Time magazine should be banned from newsstands. Only kidding. They have the right to do it.
Is it safe to say that everybody stipulates that he was a terrorist, right?
Most of the people that you've talked to would say, yeah, we were better off with him not walking around on the earth.
Well, I heard that, right. But that doesn't necessarily mean everybody's calling him a terrorist. But everybody that I sort of caught.
Well, we think he's a terrorist. Over there, they think he's a hero because he killed Americans.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
okay. So, while, you know, it depends on your perspective, my friend.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we would love your view on this, folks. This is something that the president is going to be talking about today.
Our mentally ill president, as you just described
him? We've been able to stipulate that he's a narcissist. Okay, so that's that. That's fine. But that doesn't prevent you from leadership or getting elected. Actually, probably helps you to get elected.
Probably does.
To be able to superlatively talk about yourself all the time. But, you know, is he finally listening to some of the more long-term generals that are around him and, you know, his...
Actually, I heard one report this morning that said that it was more than likely Pompeo who was
pushing for this. Okay.
Right. And one of the comp talking heads said that in looking at all of Trump's prior actions, he has been risk averse. He has not pushed the envelope. He has not taken the maximum amount of action he could take.
That he's shown restraint up to now.
Right. He has shown restraint.
Right. So we know he's assertive, but he's been verbose about this, but not too many actions that have followed. And that's not a criticism. I'm just saying he has shown restraint. That's noteworthy, especially for him. It's got to be killing him.
Well, I mean, all the Democrats say, oh, the man's demented. He's lost it. He's unhinged. He's far from that. I think he knows exactly what he's doing. He's taking a chance. Yes, he did take a chance that the Iraqis or the Iranians would respond in a way that was totally disproportionate to what was done. But, you know, it's not entirely inconceivable that even some people in those countries wanted to see this guy out of there.
Well, I think, I agree with you. This is, you know, the whole thing is horribly complex. You know, we always say, well, okay,
the Middle East always has been.
Should we have 50,000 troops? No exaggeration, 50,000 troops at all of the various locations in and around the Middle East and Saudi Arabia and in Iraq and, Yemen and every other place over there. So is that a good idea? Well, okay, so let's have that discussion. But every one of those troops, every one of those stations, every one of those bases is performing a function that somebody saw as ideal at the time. Either it's a waylay to get someplace else, or it's accomplishing some goal, or it's keeping, you know, if the U.S. had no foothold in there, is it to the globe's advantage for us to keep, you know, the al-Qaeda-type operations from developing?
Have you
somewhere
changed your mind since yesterday where you were advocating we get out of there at once?
No, I'm just talking about the fact that this is horribly complex. And I know my simplistic view is we should just boot scoot, get out of there, and that's the end of that. But, that's only because I'm a peacenik, you know, to use your phrase. But on the other hand, these are complex issues, and it costs us literally trillions of dollars to patrol and station ourselves over there. And, of course, our young men and women die in harm's way while they are there occasionally because of the tensions and the real issues that are there. Is the greater good, this mission, this goal, worth it? You know, these men and women die in harm's way because they feel as though the U.S. has a sound mission and policy and that we're accomplishing something
there. I don't know that, you know, maybe some of them disagree with it, but they are dedicated young men and women who are serving the country,
maybe,
and they go where they're ordered to go.
That's what I was trying to say, perhaps. Even though they could question it, I suppose, but they certainly are eager and heroically serving, and that I appreciate. 1-800-795-9565. The promised escalation has occurred. No casualties reported. The president's going to talk about this as the day progresses today, and you'll be able to hear that on WKOK when that happens. Mike, thank you so much for tuning in today. You are on the mark.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm still kind of stuck on yesterday's news. I haven't really gotten up to Iran's response yet and followed that. But I just wanted to talk about one of my observations and mainly get feedback from you, Mark. You know, the United States media, the people like me say they're in the pocket of the Democrats. Well, here's what I saw. I saw the mainstream media send their representative to the streets of Iran to commiserate with religious zealots over the loss of their leader. And I'm thinking to myself, when was the last time that same media sent their representatives to the National Day of Life in Washington, D.C., where hundreds of thousands of people
What media
gathered.
Are you talking about? Let's talk about media. Okay, here's WKOK. Okay. We didn't send anybody to Iran. I looked at the Daily Item today. They didn't have anybody in Iran. I watched Channel 16 this morning. They do media, news media. They didn't have anybody in Iran. Who's this individual who's representing everybody in the United States who's media?
Are you telling me you're not aware of the who was on the streets of Iran? Is that what you're saying? You're not aware of the person?
Yeah. Who's the media? Who is the individual that's representing all media?
That was the, what's the name, Martha Raddatch, NBC.
Oh, NBC reporter. Okay, well, that's fine. She's not us. She's not me. She's not the Daily Item. She's not AP. She's not CBS. She's not NBC. She's not CNN or Fox or all of the other online media. She's just a reporter. So you're saying
the
media.
She is a reporter, but that report was shown all around the world. So how many people do you think her interview reached as opposed to WKOK's interview with you and me right now?
Oh.
We're talking about a degree of magnitude.
Well, we have 60,000 average quarter-hour listeners in the morning. I don't know if they're all listening right now.
We're talking about affecting people, okay, and affecting public opinion. And like I said, in the United States, the mainstream media, and I'm not calling you the mainstream media, I'm talking about ABC, CNN, MSNBC, all those people, they basically mock Christians every chance they get. And they do it in subtle ways. But here they are commiserating with religious zealots on the other end of the world because, in their mind, this is the way I believe it, in their mind, they think that that can be used against Trump. So I'm going to default to my position. Right now, when it comes to the mainstream media and most of the headlines, if it can't be presented in a way to disparage Trump or the Republican Party, it's not getting top bill. So I just called the vent a little bit, and I just like to hear what you have to say. Do you think it's right for NBC to send people to the far corner of the world to commiserate with religious zealots when they refuse to acknowledge major Christian movements here in the United States unless they want to mock them?
Well, I think NBC has a reporter. You're talking about in Tehran, in Iran? I didn't catch where she was.
Yeah, that was right during the funeral celebration.
I know NPR is there, and they just interviewed the Iranian foreign minister, and it was hardly what you're calling commiseration, not to be crude or anything, but she put the screws to him and said, you know, why is Iran doing this? She was able to argue with him about why he's not allowed in the U.S. or why it would not be wise for him to come in the U.S. She's not the decider of whether he does get a visa or not, but why he's not going to get one. And I thought she did a fabulous job representing, National Public Radio. So I don't know what Martha Raddatch did or precisely how often it was shared or if she's commiserating, as you say. I have no idea. So I guess I'd have to look at that. But she doesn't
really
represent anybody in particular.
The thing that bothered me the most was when she was interviewing the fellow and he broke down in tears saying how much the Iranian people love Americans but not your president.
Well, that's one man's opinion, apparently, in Iran.
Right. So. I don't think the Iranians, you know, they've been hating America. They've been spouting death to America. Their government has. The Ayatollahs have. Since when? 1970. When were the hostages taken? 78, 79, somewhere in that neck of the woods?
During the end of the Carter era.
Right. So, I mean, this is not something new. This has been going on over there for a long, long time. And they're not likely to change it unless there is some earth-shaking reason for them to do so. And I think the president being tough gives them an incentive maybe to finally back down.
All right. Thank you so much for the call, Mike. Appreciate the call. We'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565. President Trump today tweeting that, quote, all is well. You may have heard that. And he says Iran's foreign minister says his country is not seeking escalation following yesterday's missile strikes on U.S. bases in Iraq. Again, still no word on any casualties from that. So the very latest from the president. 1-800-795-9565. We are talking about one particular reporter commiserating with religious zealots about the loss of Mr. Soleimani in Iraq. We'll take more comments on that.
Representative Tlaib had a typically inflammatory statement, too. We'll have to look that one up, but right. I saw part of that this morning.
To be continued. Give us a buzz. What's your view on all of this? 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, call us immediately, 1-800-795-9565. I think our caller probably has a good point. I have called up Martha Raddatz's report from ABC, not NBC, and tell me if you agree that this is commiserating with individuals there. This is from Good Morning America today.
Economic sanctions against Iraq and possible war crimes against Iran. All this is a terror group loyal to Al-Qaeda killed three Americans on a military base in Kenya.
So much. Our team is spread out from Washington to Iran. Martha Raddatz is there starting us off with the latest. Good morning, Martha.
Good morning, Robin. I have been in the midst of anti-American protests in Iran before, but nothing like this. A powerful combination of grief and anger with shouts of death to America echoing through the streets around us. This morning, mourners filling the streets of Iran's capital of Tehran for the funeral of General Soleimani, killed by that U.S. drone strike last week. Aerial images capturing the sea of Iranians, packing the streets to pay tribute to a man revered by many here.
Trump made a big mistake. He killed our hero.
Soleimani's image everywhere. The impact of his death profound.
Is that it? Is that it?
No, my video's reloading.
Okay.
It's buffering. But let's see. I think they have a transcription as part of it.
Well, here. Then you have
crowds
also.
Crowds are massive. Let's see. Raddatz, Soleimani's image is everywhere. The impact of the death is profound. The crowds are massive and emotional. There are many tears here, many signs with Soleimani's picture on them. But the message is also clear. These people want revenge. And then they show a man saying, are you human or not? Raddatz says, as we made our way through the streets of Tehran, people surrounding us shouting death to America. A woman shouts, we will be very hard revenge of Mr. Trump. Raddatz says, inside the funeral service, the emotion just as powerful as the supreme leader of Iran weeping and praying over a coffin draped in the Iraqi flag. This is the largest funeral in Iran since the death of the Ayatollah Khomeini in 1989. I don't read in their commiseration. Now, I do see that she is definitely in the midst of this. And
she doesn't give it any context from our side. I mean, she's just reporting on them and what they feel and what they say.
It's what I always call a turnaround tour when a reporter stands in the middle of something and turns around and tells you what they're seeing on all sides. So I don't see the commiseration. I can see why it would irritate our good caller who checked in, and you would not want anyone in Iraq to reporting in anything except in a pro-American fashion. But I don't see commiseration. commiseration there? Your definition of commiseration is like a sympathy for?
Well, I mean, I'm with you. I'm whatever you're feeling, I'm feeling. I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to take part in your grief, your anger, your frustration, your happiness.
Right.
Whatever it is you're feeling, I'm with you, buddy.
Right. So I don't read that in there, but again, if you look at it with sort of the...
Well, then you need to change your glasses. It's there.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, fine. I didn't see... What are the adjectives that you use that really show sympathy for the people?
There's no context.
Okay.
She's talking about, from their point of view, everything they say is accurate.
Okay.
You know, he was revered. She doesn't say he was revered by many here, despite the fact that the man is known to be a terrorist who is responsible for the killing of X number of people, and four American presidents agreed that he was a criminal and a terrorist.
So that's her job while she's there, is to make sure that not just to report on what she sees, but to always provide full context.
There should be balance in any report, don't you think? In other words, I know he was revered there.
Describe what she sees with great detail and emphasis, and leave it to the anchors and the rest of the network, or her full, well, we didn't actually hear her full report, but to get the rest in that way, not all, you can't do everything all at one time.
Well, then take.
But I see what you're saying. I mean, obviously, reporters strive for balance, as the network should in the long run. And maybe
take Representative Omar, who says that she and her fellow Democrats are outraged that President Trump assassinated General Qasem Soleimani, whom she called a foreign official, without telling Congress. We are outraged the president would assassinate a foreign official, possibly sending off another war, without congressional authorization, and has zero plan to deal with the consequences.
Well, here's the start of World War III she's talking about. All is well, and the country's not seeking escalation further beyond yesterday's missile strikes. That doesn't sound like the beginning of a war to me. Bill, you're on the mark. Thank you so much for calling in. Go right ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Hey, first is, this is the world we live in now today, right? And there is going to be no World War III with Iran, right? Obama gave them $150 billion, right? Iran spends $20 billion a year in missiles, right? They have no air force. So Obama funded their military program for 7.5 years by giving them $150 billion, okay? Now, the regime, the general, he was an ankle biter. He would just do little things just to agitate the world and agitate Americans, and then the appeasement, Obama would be giving them money and doing all this other stuff, right? They have nothing, right? They have no planes, no nothing, right? They are scared. They had this general killed. They retaliated at 1:30 in the morning, intentionally landing missiles in not even near humans, right? They know what's up. Like, the President Trump has figured them out, right? They've been called out and they've been exposed, all right? And they know it. Trump is strike two targets and they're crippled. He's going to overthrow that regime, and they know it. The people are going to rise. The people that you see on TV are just, you know, you don't see the 80% or the 90% of the country that want that regime out of there. And there's going to be changes with them, and you'll see it. You'll see it.
Good point.
Well, yeah, could happen. All right. Thank you so much. Yeah, appreciate the call. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Two texts from the same individual.
Jim. Right. The first one says, good morning. Yes, I believe the more news we can hear and see is good for Americans. And then she needs to keep herself safe as reporting and must not upset those people while in their presence. Well, that's kind of like World War II, when the American reporters in pre-war Germany had to have all their copy passed through a censor before they could put it on the air. And they devised little ways, little tricks to get the message out. So she could do the same thing. If she really had some moral disregard, well, not moral disregard, but some moral opinion about Soleimani's murderous tendencies, she could have found a way to work that in there, at least give people the hint that she didn't totally support what he had done and what he would have continued to do.
Oh, brother. Honest to Pete. You wouldn't know good reporting if you heard it.
And I would know good reporting if I heard it.
There's nothing wrong with that. You know, she's in the middle of the story. They sent her there to tell us what's happening there, not to do the whole global panel discussion about what all of this means and the implications and gas prices and everything else. They sent her down there to do a turnaround tour of what you see around her. She did, and she did a perfectly fine job. It doesn't show that she's commiserating by any stretch of the imagination. Your view is it lacks balance because she didn't put in everything else that what's
his name did. Commiserated with them.
No, brother.
She commiserated with them.
Look it up.
Listen to her voice. She's not the dispassionate reporter.
Joe McGranahan.
She's feeling their pain.
You're willing to lie just for your president.
No,
unbelievable.
I'm not.
This is a new low. All right.
Listen.
What's your email saying? Or that's not related to this?
No. But the president of the United States has their number. I'm sorry. He does. I think he's come closer to figuring this out. Yet I saw some of my liberal friends yesterday saying, oh, the end is near. This is it. He's finally done it. He's pushed us over the top. When is Jared going to come in and solve the problem? You know, he was supposed to be working on the Middle East, if you recall. You know, so all my liberal friends are frothing at the mouth. You know, this is it. This is the end. I can't. One of them said, I can't hardly read the paper tomorrow morning. Can't bring myself to read the paper. It's all going to be awful. It's terrible. Because they hate this guy so much. They hate President Trump so much that they just cannot concede that he might have a handle on things.
All right. 1-800-795-9565. Jot it down. You can tell Joe he's wrong when you get back, or when we get back from CBS News. We would invite all comers, our callers, our texters, our emailers. We're enjoying a vibrant discussion about reporting from Iran and the president's mental stability. Or lack thereof. Thank you, Joe. You're listening to WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, we're having a vibrant discussion about Martha Raddatz reporting from Iran. One of our good listeners says she was, in fact, commiserating. My view is that she's simply doing reporting, in-depth reporting about what's happening all around her.
She's today's Hanoi Jane.
Okay, and Joe says she's... really a significant part of the problem. So we'd love your view on this kind of thing. 1-800-795-9565. And we would just love to hear from you. Our On the Mark show is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. So let me tell you more.
Please
about
do.
Them. Okay, well, they have a place that you can drive to. You don't even have to pull in. Like, let's
suppose, would this be the quick lane?
Yes.
Okay.
If they're going to pump you up with nitrogen, you don't even have to go in the garage. You just pull up out front. Right in front of where they have a big blue hose that says nitrogen, pump you up. And they'll pump you up with nitrogen right then and there. You don't even have to go in. And they'll check your tires and make sure they're good to go. If you've never had nitrogen, you're going to enjoy a brief sales pitch. Now, it is for sale there. It's free if you bought your tires there. Or if you've already got nitrogen from there and you want it refreshed. But tires will last longer, run cooler, less pressure change between seasons. And nitrogen's a bigger molecule, so less leak. Leakage is, and who doesn't need less leakage?
Leakage is bad.
Right. Joe should know. So the quick lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury is where they can pump you up with nitrogen. Plus, they'll take good care of your tires, too. And it's Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. You can do this Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Check it out online. You can see their pitch about nitrogen and your tires running cooler in the summer at sunburymotors.com. They would just love to chit-chat with you at the Sunbury Motor Company because they are a family-owned dealership since 1915. That's their whole shtick, don't you know? So they would just love to talk to you. Our toll-free line now open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. We are waiting for the president. He has promised that he will have some remarks today related to the air strike from Iran into Iraqi airspace at U.S. bases, where the president has said that there was no casualties. President Trump tweeted today, all is well, and Iran's foreign minister says his country is not seeking further escalation following yesterday's missile strikes on U.S. bases in Iraq, although we do not base our actions on what the Iran foreign minister is asking for or not asking for. So I guess that's Lawrence's worthless caveat thrown in there. I do agree with President McGranahan that the President Trump has shown tremendous restraint. I mean, I'm sure his greatest whimsical thought would be to, I think, blow them off the face of the earth comes to mind. But in any event, okay, so that sets the scene. That's what we're talking about. We would just love to hear from you today. I still am a peacenik. You can call me that anytime, Joe, and I think we should just pull out there. All 50,000 troops, let them fight among themselves wildly for as long as they wish to and then enjoy.
Our troops? You said pull our troops out, let them fight among themselves.
The people who live there.
All right, make it clear. You made it sound like you're advocating civil war among the military.
But fight among themselves. I don't know. Would they be happy to leave? I only have ever personally spoken to a few soldiers, so hardly a representative.
I think if they buy into the mission, they would be reluctant to leave if they believe in what they're doing.
Well, do we have a stated mission? A lot of people criticize the president. They say he doesn't have a cohesive mission and goal.
What do you expect the president to do?
Just let me finish.
All right.
He doesn't need to tell anybody what his mission and goal is. He just needs to implement it.
All right, here's the thing. What the president of the United States is going to say, ladies and gentlemen, here's what I'm trying to achieve in the Middle East. And now everybody knows what he's trying to achieve.
Some previous presidents have done that. But I agree with you. He doesn't have any obligation to tell people what
he's doing.
He
shouldn't tell people. If he has a plan, he should keep it under wraps and act on it.
Okay.
You know, what I'm saying is we need some of these people on the left need to back up and give the guy a break. And Lutnick Tlaib says he has no plan for dealing with the aftermath.
Well, I heard one of the Democrats this morning on MSNBC say, the president has got to come up with a group of deliverables and give them to we know what we're fighting for.
A group of deliverables.
Yeah.
I love that word.
You're deliverable. All right, anyway. But 1-800-795-9565 is the open phone. Give us a buzz. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. We would just love to hear from you. I'm going to read news headlines, and then we're going to take a good course. Williamsburg's University Director of Communications, Tom McGuire, tells us a run, fight, hide exercise will occur in the afternoon. Well, it'll occur all day. And then this afternoon around 1 p.m., there'll be simulated gunfire on campus. It's a training exercise, and residents are urged to not call 911. If local residents have concerns, please call the university department. So, and finally, oil prices have climbed and global stock markets went down slightly overnight after Iran fired missile at U.S. bases in Iraq in retaliation for the killing of an Iran. Crude prices spiked more than $3 before retreating somewhat. Market benchmarks in London, Frankfurt, Shanghai, and Tokyo all retreated slightly. I love that. They retreated slightly. Anyway, it's like I turned around for the most part. Anyway, the Pentagon says Iran fired more than a dozen missiles at bases used by U.S. troops. The Iranian foreign minister says the attacks were self-defense that followed last week's killing of an Iranian general in Baghdad. The killing sparked fears of U.S.-Iranian military conflict and disruption of oil supplies. Meantime, President Donald Trump once warned Barack Obama against playing the Iran card to boost his political prospects by starting a war. 8 years later, President Trump showing no reluctance to capitalize politically on his order to kill a top Iranian general, drawing accusations that he is weaponizing foreign policy for his campaign's own gain. Trump campaign has used the killing of Qasem Soleimani, the head of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard's elite Quds force, as a cudgel against the president's Democratic political rivals and to divert attention from his impending impeachment trial in the Senate. Well, that's an opinion piece. That's buried in the AP like it's fact.
Right, and that's what's wrong with the AP today.
Okay, well, I would agree under these circumstances. Yep, absolutely. Besides, I don't think the trial is impending. It's pending.
No. If it was pending, Nancy Pelosi would have sent the articles of impeachment over.
But in any event, drawing that he's weaponized. This is not attributed to anyone. I'm kind of surprised to see it.
It's not like it's a quote or a story or.
It was on the follow-up page of the AP, but still, usually all of these things, this sort of thing is attributed. All right, so now we.
AP stands for almost pathetic.
I see. Wow.
I used to have a lot of respect for them. Although in my career, I put more effort onto UPI in the past than I did AP.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, UPI well, was at least
well, they're just about gone.
Well, they are gone.
We'll be getting rid of AP in the weeks and months ahead anyway, so their usefulness in this building is elapsed. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Believe it or don't, we do not have any texts pending nor emails on this topic. So give us a call, 1-800-795-9565. Dan is on the line. Good morning, sir.
Hey, right good ahead. Morning, guys. Why, I agree with Mike, Bill, and your take on it, Joe, and Martha Raddix. And she's one of them broadcasters that hate Trump really bad. And every time they can get something nasty to say, they'll say it. And they'll agree with the enemy more than the president. And, you know, what really gets their goat, here a businessman ran for president. He has no friends in Washington. A political outsider comes in, wins the presidency, and runs the country a couple times better than the past two presidents ever ran it. And that gets their goat. And they cannot say enough nasty things about him. And it gets their goat. Trump mates with evangelical Christians, his friends down at Florida, and they're behind him. And that makes them hate the evangelical group more than ever because they're friends with Trump. And they'll find anything to disdain the evangelical movement. If one evangelical commits a sin that they can broadcast, they'll have that on the air every day and every day and every day to make you believe that every evangelical Christian is a hypocrite. And that's the world we're living in. They would rather make you feel sorry for a killer, a general, so-called, it's a killer around the world, than have a love for President Trump that's doing a great job. And it's a weird world we're living in right now. And it's sad to say a lot of low information people out here are buying right into it. And I know some of them. And you try to talk to them, just face up what our president's done for us since he's been in. They can't even talk about it. They buy the liberal news media's bias against this president. They can't see through the fog and see the truth. And that's the world we're living in.
Hey, you got that right.
And I really feel, you know, I actually feel sorry for Trump and the way he's treated. And he's doing a great job for America. And you're, like you said, Joe, he's a step ahead. He sees through the situation over there, and they're going to have a civil war in there. They don't like the Ayatollah Khomeini in there. The average person does not want him in there. They're suffering. They have nothing, and they're tired of it. They have no rights, no anything. And here in our beautiful freedom we enjoy, we have people 90% or more of the press agreeing more with the enemy than with our president. So that's the world we live in, and we just pray that more eyes get open.
Okay, you got that.
And you guys have a great
you
and
too,
good
Dan.
Talking with you.
Take care.
Yep. Bye.
Thanks for calling in. 1-800-795-9565 is.
He makes a good point. I mean, the people on the left, and I know they're well meaning, and I know they're concerned, and I credit them with having valid points of view, even though I disagree with them. But they've got to stop proclaiming the end is near every 2 seconds. They're beginning to sound like demented people. You know, oh, the end is near. This is awful. He's terrible, doing terrible things. It's awful.
Well, I remember when I went to journalism school, they talked about how important balance was and objectivity and how to achieve it and how to monitor it and how to correct it, I guess, if you weren't objective, you know, to have an ombudsman and objective, you know, to find this objective panel.
I always like that word, ombudsman. It sounds like somebody who's hawking marijuana on the street corners.
The bud salesman. You're mixing him up with the bud salesman who's around the corner.
Okay.
In any event, how do you get all the non-objective news media today to go back to being objective? You know,
you're missing what's going on. I mean, the media and Fox News panders to the right, and MSNBC and CNN pander to the left. They're all presenting the news the way their constituency wants to hear it.
Okay.
In other words, they're starting out with a preconception of, I know my audience, and my audience believes this. And so my reporting is going to reflect what I believe my audience wants to hear.
Okay.
And I think the right does that, and the left does that.
Mm-hmm.
And so their objectivity is a hard commodity to come by, because to be objective, you've got to present both sides. And very few people want to hear both sides in today's world.
Is there anybody objective? So is NPR, most people, I've heard people say that they're left-leaning.
I don't watch NPR enough to make a valid decision one way or the other, but I've heard, too, that they're left-leaning. But, I mean, let's face it. Fox knows what its audience wants to hear, and they give it to them. MSNBC knows what its audience wants to hear, and so does CNN, and they give it to them.
Well,
and if the truth suffers, or if objectivity suffers along the way, so be it.
Well, and CBS, I used to hold them up as an objective news media, but now I've seen reports that clearly just aren't objectively written about the president, and they will not call him President Trump to save
their
life.
No, they're just Trump.
Trump, Trump, Trump. Oh, my.
It was President Obama, our dearly beloved President Obama.
Well,
but then there's Trump.
Than, thanks for calling in. You're on the mark.
I don't even know where to start.
Yeah, there's so much material today.
I'll tell you what. I don't think everybody on the left is stupid, and that's what we've been called. I don't think everybody on the left doesn't understand what's going on. I think most of us do. And when people tell me I hate someone, I have the same response that I heard from Nancy Pelosi, except I'm not Catholic. I do not hate people. I find that our mentally deranged president is not somebody that I feel comfortable having the nuclear code in his fingertips, because he's thin-skinned, he is absolutely doesn't understand world politics, and the fact that Joe continues saying over and over again, my friends on the left, who are stupid people, and I know you didn't use those words, Joe, but that's what you say over and over again, and it's not an answer to how come our president was holding up really valuable stuff in Ukraine. That's not an answer. The answer is, it looks like he might have been, and it looks like it might be a problem. We don't hate Trump. We are extremely upset with his methods. Sorry, that's the way I feel. And I'm getting sick of the people who are thoughtfully, you call them leftists. Many times it's the middle of the road. You can't even see where you are.
Any idea how much it will cost? Sorry about that. Yeah, that was me. Sorry, video playing on our CBS app. Joe?
Okay.
Respond.
Well, Than's entitled to his opinion. That's my response.
Oh, thank you so much, and that's so enlightening. And I am going to go back to listening to all of your enlightening statements that say that, good grief, Raddich is a leftist. That means you don't even know who she is. She's not a leftist. When they tell you the real news and the way it is, it must be leftist, because nobody in the news said, well, the other side is horrible and we are wonderful. What reporters do, Joe, you should know this. You used to hire them regularly, is report the news as it is, not what you wish it was.
But unfortunately, they don't do that, then. They shade it with their own. The line between opinion and news is so clouded today that journalists don't even recognize it anymore. It's perfectly okay to add an editorial comment into the middle of a story. I mean, that's perfectly okay in today's world. It's not with me.
Okay, and you realize that maybe some of us are smart enough to listen to Fox News and realize they have sold out in one direction. I don't think the other side has sold out, but
okay.
They are trying to...
MSNBC hasn't sold out.
We are smart enough, Joe. We're smart enough to figure this out.
MSNBC hasn't sold out to the left.
No.
Oh, okay.
My God.
But Fox has sold out to the right.
Over half of the people on MSNBC and a roundtable are always ex-Republicans.
Ex-Republicans, right. You got that right. That's exactly who they are. Ex-Republicans.
Yeah, because they saw what's happening.
Right.
And they understand the
But they haven't
like,
sold
you know,
out. They're the soul of objectivity.
Going down a rabbit hole.
They're the soul of objectivity. Let's get some ex-Republicans in here to tell us what's really wrong.
Okay.
Don't have any ex-Democrats on the panels, do they, Than?
Oh, yeah. No, they probably not.
No, they don't.
Now the Democratic Party is the party that has values. Republican values kill, kill, kill.
Mm-hmm.
Evangelical values hate, hate, hate. Most Democrats don't feel that way.
All right, we got you, Than. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For giving
thank
me a respite.
You for letting me rant. I appreciate
well, you,
it.
Well, and I need the respite, too. So.
You need a checkup from the neck up,
oh,
old buddy.
Come on now. We'll take a quick break.
Well, thinks I do, so I think he does.
We got callers ready, but I got to stay on schedule. We'll be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC Way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC Way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way? The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, 1-800-795-9565. We'll take the orders and the calls in the order in which they arrive, which puts Chris on the air. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Mark and Joe, good morning to you. Another with all these snowflakes blowing around, I thought I'd have to blow into a stage for a few minutes. when speaking about the coverage of all of this on cable, you know, TV news and whatnot, last night is the perfect example of, you know, the difference in coverages. And Joe, you know, I've been co-host on this show before. You know that I've admitted, you know, MSNBC, they're panders, just like Fox News are panders. They pander to their side.
That's what you said.
That's what I said.
I watched CNN and Fox News all night last night. That's what I did. It's the second I heard that Iran had fired rockets and missiles at us, I was like, okay, let's get on this. CNN played this right down the middle. And I will give credit where credit is due. Anderson Cooper and both Chris Cuomo were both trying to, you know, be like, but Trump, right? And every person that they had on was kind of like, well, you know, yeah, you know, Trump did like kind of, you know, make this happen because of the assassination, but... You know, we don't know if Trump is to blame for this. This has been brewing for a very, very long time, a decades long, you know, with Iran. However, Fox News, from the gate, was blaming the Obama deal. From the very beginning, it was all about the Obama deal. And this is exactly what we mean when they want to say fair and balanced. They, you know, look, it sounds to me like CNN they went, oh my God, the world is ending. This could be horrible. And the reason being is because of Trump's words. Trump said, we're going to hit hard. We're going to hit fast. Our big weapons, our terrible stuff. All this line in the sand stuff. So then what did Iran do? They went and punched us in the face for a second. And we were all worried about what the response was going to be because Trump has been so erratic. And that's what CNN, that's the picture that CNN painted, whereas Fox News was like, well, no, this was very presidential and da-da-da-da-da. Like, it's so transparent.
Well, then you didn't, you obviously didn't see CNN this morning. They actually had somebody on. I think they would have rather gotten off because he was talking about how the president has been remarkably restrained and how he has been, in fact, risk averse in many of his dealings in the Middle East, that he has gone right down the middle. Now, that was on CNN this morning. It almost blew me away.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Last night, the guy that was on last night, you know, Anderson Cooper tried to give that loaded question of, you know, well, don't you think that, you know, now we're in a... It was something along the lines of, don't you think we're now in this horrible spot because of what Trump did? And, you know, the guy on the other side honestly said, you know, we honestly don't know what's going to happen next because Iran has went and done something that they've never done before. Like, they went and struck, you know, they struck somebody, they attacked us, and then stood ground and said, yeah, we did that. That
Chris,
was us. And
Chris,
we fired it from our own place. What are you going to do? So it's unprecedented ground.
Chris,
so
I got to stop you there.
Like I said,
hold on. I'm going to put you on hold. I got to take another caller. He's going to give a brief remark, but you're 3 minutes in, so we're going to take this other caller. Sure. Then we'll come right back to you. So hold on. And Buzz, thank you for waiting through the break and a call. I didn't think you'd ever make it, but you did. Thank you.
I did just to spite you.
You did to make me wrong.
No, I'm homesick today, so I'm just listening. And I just wanted to ask Joe, do you believe that what Trump said about Iran planning an imminent attack on us?
Yes, I think I do, because he got it from the intelligence community.
Did you believe him when he said that Mexico was going to pay for the wall?
He did.
You know, but here's the thing. You believed that when he disagreed with the intelligence community, he was wrong. So now he agrees with them, and he does what they suggest, and now he's wrong again.
Did you believe him when he said he'd be working too hard to play golf?
No. Never did believe that.
Well, how do you decide what to believe and what not to believe? I mean, with his record of constant lying on a daily basis, I just wonder how you pick and choose what.
Well, there's a difference between political hyperbole. There's a difference between political hyperbole, which everybody, Republican and Democrat, takes part in, and then there's speech that relates to the safety and integrity of the country, and there I believe he speaks straight.
Well, unfortunately, most of his sheep aren't smart enough to take that tack, but I just wondered how you deal with it.
When he's lying less, Buzz, I am not an advocate for the president to lie at all, but...
Well, look at Joe
Biden. What is it? The Daily Beast, or one of those good reports that monitors his lies, says that the number of lies lately have been plummeting. He's down to like 100 a day.
Wow.
Down from 300 a day.
But let's look at Joe Biden. Joe Biden denied again that he was in favor.
Joe. That he was supposed... We're not talking about Joe Biden.
We're talking about
Trump. We're trying to deflect.
I'm not deflecting. You know, you can't
if you're talking about Joe Biden, you're deflecting.
You can't say
about Trump, and how do you believe him? I don't care about Joe Biden.
You can't say one guy is a liar and another guy isn't. Joe Biden was a vice president. He claims he didn't support the Iraqi war to begin with. From the day that President Trump did it, I didn't support it. And even the Washington Post says he's lying. So, I mean, I'm talking about political hyperbole.
Let's deal with today.
All right, but I'm answering your question. That's political hyperbole. He makes a statement, and that's what Trump does, and Joe Biden does it. Barack Obama did it. Every politician does it. But I believe Barack Obama, when he was president...
We haven't dragged Hillary into this yet.
Let me finish. I believe that Barack Obama, when he talked about the safety and integrity of the United States, I believe he spoke as he honestly believed, and I believe that President Trump's doing the same thing.
All right.
I'm done.
Okay.
Great. Thank you so much for calling in, Buzz. Hold on, Chris. Take a quick break. When we come back, we got to read one email, and then we'll put Chris back on the radio. Stand by. Are you okay?
Welcome back.
You're trying to do your Steve Jones impersonation.
Oh, I can't do Steve. If I could, I'd be a sportscaster making millions.
read everything on the right-hand side of the screen.
Okay, real quick. I was amazed how much this death was shown on our TV in our country. Why? To show it initially, that was fine, but they repeated it over and over and over, day after day. Just tells me the major news media is, well, I just can't find a word that describes it perfectly. Everything that I can think of falls way short. Another writer says, so then why did Trump not push the big nuclear button, as you have indicated, that he is drooling at the mouth to do? Well, Mark?
Oh, I never said he's drooling to it.
Oh, Than said that.
Oh, okay.
Than said that.
Well, he's been showing restraint. He's clearly medicated. He's lying less. He's not pushing the nuclear button.
And then here's my favorite. The way the world is burning, the end is near if we don't change our ways.
All right. Chris, what's your view on what you've heard lately?
Like, just in the past 20 minutes, there's been a lot that I've heard. First things first, I want to know, from everything that I've heard, what is this intelligence that he followed that led to the killing of Soleimani? From what I understand, no one has seen the intelligence or the report yet, so nobody knows. But every single person that I've heard talk about this that seems credible, like a congressman or a senator, of course they're all Democrats because Republicans aren't talking, so I understand that there's a bias to it, and I'll admit that, but every single person that I've heard speak about this on the defense counsel or anything like that sees no evidence that an attack was imminent and that he was following intelligence. To me, it just looks like something that Trump wanted to do. This guy was a bad guy. It sounds like Trump logic to me. This guy's a bad guy. Let's kill him. Just like the other guy who was also a way worse guy, where he started taking credit for eliminating ISIS completely, which is obviously false. So where is this intelligence? Maybe Joe has. Do you have something that I don't have? Have you read something that I haven't?
Well, he doesn't have to tell us any of that stuff.
Yes, the president personally briefed me last night, and I think it's wonderful.
What I'm saying is congressmen and senators are saying they don't even know. Like, people on the defense council, like, their job is to know this information, and they don't even know yet.
These people leak like a sieve. I think any president who needs to take action to protect this country that starts off by talking to Congress is probably making a mistake, Republican or Democrat, because they'll leak it.
In history. So what you're saying is that this president is allowed to change things because he doesn't like the people he's working. Like, I don't understand the idea, the premise of it. Like, it's like, you know, when a Democrat or anybody goes outside the lines, it's like, oh my God, we have standards in this country, we have rules and the way we do things. But like, he does it, and it's egregious. Like, it is egregious. He did what was tantamount to an act of war by flying into a sovereign nation.
Okay, let me ask you this, Chris. President Obama launched far more drone strikes than George Bush, like 10 times more. And he didn't go to Congress each time to get approval on them. Why is that wrong, or why is that right, and what President Trump's doing is wrong?
Well, the only thing I could say about that is, honestly, it probably is wrong. I don't know, because I don't recall those. And we didn't get this reaction from the other side. See, the difference is, it's all about the response. If Obama did something and we didn't get this response where we're on the brink of war, then I'm willing to guess that there was at least some conversation either with allies or with someone in the know that was able to direct us to say, yes, this is a safe move or this is the right move. And as opposed to this one where the entire Middle East is up in arms, including Iraq, which is our ally.
The entire Middle East was up in arms when President Trump moved the embassy to Jerusalem. They've been up in arms. They're up in arms about everything. They were up in arms before. They thought Barack Obama was supporting them. But now that President Trump's come in and tilted back toward Israel, they're up in arms about that. The Middle East has been up in arms about stuff forevermore.
Because they see a complete shift. He's backing Saudi Arabia. He's not backing the allies that have been established for decades. All of a sudden, things are shifting. And that's
what's shifting? Saudi Arabia's been our ally for years.
Not. It's different. It's way different now. It's absolutely way different now. And you know that. You know it to be true.
I don't see that.
Like, You don't see that.
No, I don't.
You don't see how moving the embassy and not condemning the death of the journalist and, you know, things of that nature, but we're going to attack a general, which would be the equivalent of killing our Secretary of Defense, by the way.
Let me ask you this question. This is a hypothetical. Let's say we knew about 2 days before September 11th, 2001, that a group of people were going to take out airplanes and smash them into our prize buildings and kill thousands of people. What if before they did that, we had killed them all? And the word got out that we'd killed, what was it, 23 Saudi Arabian citizens here in the United States. There would have been absolute outrage. We don't always know what it is someone's going to do. And if you have intelligence that shows that they're going to commit a bad act and you stop them from committing it, are you a criminal or are you just being smart?
Well, let me back up your hypothetical with the following hypothetical. If the report comes out, if an intelligence report does come out that Trump's intelligence or the intelligence that he received says such a thing, then I think the world, including myself, will look at it differently. But that has not happened yet.
All right, because it should.
But sometimes they can't release the intelligence without giving a clue as to how it was gathered. And that could put people at risk.
This so-called transparent presidency that Trump promised he was going to have, and this draining of the swamp that he was going to do, and no more secrets, and no more lies, and all of that, it's all BS across the board.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much, Chris. Thanks for being a good call-in guest.
Thanks, Chris.
Appreciate that.
Yep.
Dale's going to be the last caller before a quickie break. Sir, you are on the mark.
Yeah, I mean, I just look at it this way. The narrative, basically, is the corporate world, you know, runs the show. And Iran's a big nation, and basically it's being run by a shepherd. So what the whole thing is, you know...
A shepherd.
Well, a religious leader. Like, the corporate world wants to suppress all religions. Basically what George Soros' mission in life is. So, like I said, basically all religious leading countries are all being shuffled. So until we get that eye hole out of there and appoint a corporate representative like we have in Trump and Pupkin and... the other guy, you know, basically the wolves want to control the sheep, and the whole thing is the media is going to throw you a narrative. This is not a religious war. You understand that this is the corporate world, and everybody has to accept it. And you know, they're just trying to throw a monkey wrench into the corporate system. To, you know, I guess they call the shepherds. I mean, I don't know other way to put it, but I look at the biggest picture there. And George Soros' plan has been in works for many, many years, and he's doing a great job at it. And the CIA and all of our militaries are all working for the corporations. They do not work for the sheep.
Well, now, George Soros, he's not with the Bar Association, is he?
I don't know why you keep picking on it. I told you, you must take it personal. I told you I had nothing against anybody personal, Joe, but... you know, they're steering the ship of the corporate wheel.
Well, I'm trying to figure out how George Soros, how's George tied in with them?
George Soros believes it's anti-productive being religious, you know, religious faith. So what his whole agenda is and what the whole agenda of all these corporate leaders, which people call presidents and stuff like that, are all to diminish religion. So basically... it's a big wheel. Ain't nobody going to stop it. I mean, but, you know, the basic thing is they should just come out to me just saying, hey, they got a religious shepherd here, and we're trying to, you know, get the corporate world going. I mean, I don't know why they just don't come out. These people, they're making people go crazy. They don't even know the story.
Well, don't you believe a religious leader could run a country effectively and have a great place where people were happy and safe?
Yes, I do believe that. I do believe that. But the Ayatollah is just, like, so much hatred, you know. I think the Iranian people are suffering. They have to understand that. But the American people are so off script, it's sickening. I mean, you know, basically the truth is the truth. I mean, you can have faith in all that, but keep it in the closet. And let's just be productive. But I don't know. I don't understand it. But it seems like all the shepherds in the world are being suppressed by the corporate
All right. Well said.
Like I said,
appreciate the comment.
Our election was all backed by corporations, both parties, okay? So no poor people donate to any party. So both of our candidates are corporate representatives. Understand that. So your vote is diminished. Your vote doesn't count.
Right.
Period.
Gotcha.
If they go off script, they're going to get a JFK on them. That's the way it works.
All right. We got you. Thank you so much for calling in.
Do you have Netflix? Oh, well, Dale's gone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What if Dale has Netflix? There's a new series on Netflix called Messiah. And it's fascinating. It's, I don't want to describe it. I don't want to give you a plot spoiler. But it's worth looking at, you know.
Okay. I saw a promo for it.
So well, it's worth looking
we'll
at. I'm involved. I'm in the second or third episode
Messiah.
Now. Do you? Okay.
1-800-795-9565. We do have four open loans.
Open loans?
Yes, we have open loans.
Somebody's please send us some money so we can pay off our loans.
Someone's got to pay them. All right. Four open lines. 1-800-795-9565 is the caller number. We are talking about U.S. policy. Some folks want to stay more clearly stated U.S. policy. Some folks want to see the intelligence that the president got to see before the strike on Soleimani last week. We'll take more comers on the show. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarketwkok.com or text us at 70236 if you're a Text Connect member.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. Do you want to read something in the upper right-hand corner?
Right. One of our writers says, name-calling is not needed. Sheep is name-calling. This starts hate groups. Stop. Keep on the subject without unnecessary name titles on both sides. Thank you.
I thought she was going to say, stop it, you idiots. No
stop
more
in the name
calling.
Of love.
No, but she did not. She did not say
and
that.
Then one of our writers referring to the journalist we were discussing earlier says, she's not a leftist. Then why did she argue with Trump as a debate moderator? Good question.
Well, that's her job as a moderator.
Not to argue, to ask questions.
To engage. And if the person doesn't answer the question, then you engage them and get the answer.
I see.
Joe is next.
Joe, you're on the mark.
Or did I do that wrong?
Nope, you didn't. Joe?
Joe, go right ahead. You're on the mark.
I got a kick out of the gentleman just a bit ago about his corporate. Everything's a big corporate conspiracy. And I remember, you know, some people get into the one world order conspiracy,
things
are a lot more complicated.
He thinks
than
the Bar Association is the root of all evil. So we have been able to trace the Bar Association back to quite a few things that have gone wrong in the world, thanks to his help. So we always ask him to clarify that a little bit when he calls in.
Bar Association, mean as far as trial lawyers go, that kind
yep,
of thing.
Yep, those are them.
Yeah, lawyers, they're
messing
the
up everything.
Anyway.
I think he subscribes to Shakespeare, first of all, let's kill all the lawyers.
Yeah, the world would be a better place with less lawyers. I don't know what, I wonder what Abraham Lincoln would have thought of that.
Well, who was it that said, what do they call 1,000 lawyers at the bottom of the ocean?
A good start. Is that the joke?
Yep.
Anyway, I think, I wonder what if Iran was just trying to save face by, they called the the Iraqis and told them they were going to shoot missiles into the two bases.
Oh.
And they told them to evacuate everyone.
I hadn't
heard that. Supposedly they didn't hit anything, I'm going down in a dip here. I'll probably lose you guys.
Okay. But, well, that is true. I didn't realize. I hadn't heard that they had called ahead of time to say.
They warned the. Okay. Yes, not us. They warned the Iraqis.
I wonder if they were just trying to single. Hey, we're just trying to save a little face with our phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, he has accurately predicted. We lost him. All right.
Sorry. Call back when you get out of the dip.
Paul, you're on the mark.
I'm going to give you some food for thought.
I need an unanswerable question, so go right ahead.
Okay. God created man in his image, not in his ability that everything that he did was good in the eyes of God.
Huh? Right. What?
Right.
Did you hear what you just said?
Because when God got finished creating all the things, he stood back and he said, I see good. What I've done, and in the eyes of God, it was good.
Okay.
So?
So man is in God's image, but not in his intelligence.
I think we're in his likeness, but we don't think
like
God.
Well, how does that come jive with the fact that he ate from the tree of the fruit of knowledge and became a god?
Or wanted to.
Well, let's put it this way, Joe. If the tree of knowledge had everything in it and man ate from it, man would be a god because it says that let us cast man out of the garden, for he eat from the tree of life, for he live forever. For now that he has eaten from the tree of knowledge, he has become one of us.
Okay.
Where's the snake figure into this?
And the Bar Association.
The Bar Association and the snake. They got to be in there somewhere.
Well, look it up in Genesis.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much, Paul. Appreciate the call. Very sound information. Really quickly, Joe.
Joe, do you think you and the caller that talked to you want a theocracy in this country? I think our country was established against the theocracies, but then again, you are the historian. Okay. Well, I don't think we're talking about doing that. I asked if it was possible that there could be a good place to live. WKOK, Sunbury.